Love Talk Radio.
We always do that. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and happy Thursday, everyone. Happy Thursday. Today is Thursday, March the 16th, and this is Sister Talk on Sisters Radio, Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Ceola J. Abram. I want to thank you for joining us. Again, it's March the 16th, 7 p.m., and you're on Sister Talk with Ceola J. Abram, your host for this evening, actually your host for every Thursday evening. I want to apologize. I know, pardon me, some of you may have gotten on just a few seconds ago and noticed that I wasn't on. We had a tad bit of technical difficulty, so I want to apologize for that. But anyway, we are here, and we are excited about today's show. We have a real man, guys, that's going to talk to us about real issues that they have, raw and uncut. This is going to be another explosive show. I am so glad that you all have decided to join us this evening. So as we always do, let's take care of some business before we get our guest online. And that business is me, once again, thanking you all for joining us. I recognize, as I always say every Thursday, that 7 p.m. is a prime time, and I know this is the time that most are preparing dinner, if not sitting down to have dinner with your family. Some of you have children, spouses. Some of you have both. Some of you may be in commuter traffic, and this is an opportunity for us to kind of help you ease on down the road. But whatever you may be doing at this hour, I just want to thank you for taking the time to join us, because I recognize that you could spend an hour of your time doing a lot of different things, but you decided to take the time to spend it with us, and I just want to, again, express my gratitude and my appreciation for you doing that. All right. So with that being said, I want to get a couple of announcements out the way, and one of those announcements is I want to tell you all, last week we were talking about our Trinity Break Every Chain tour that we are on. Pardon me. That's myself and three other ladies, Sina Tate, as well as Karen Denise Lewis, Pamela Dobson, and we are traveling 6 states, 10 cities, doing the Trinity Break Every Chain tour. And our last one was in Las Vegas, Nevada. And OMG, when I tell you that the Trinity Break Every Chain tour in Las Vegas was absolutely awesome, wonderful, powerful, so many great reviews. It was just wonderful. Each one that we do is different, and each one presents a whole nother experience, not only for the guests, but for us. And so I just want to give a shout out to Las Vegas, Nevada, to all of those wonderful people who attended. It was restoration. It was rejuvenation. It was so many things. It was great. It was great, and we had a wonderful experience. All right, I also want to let you know that the Trinity Break Every Chain tour is going to be appearing next in Phoenix, Arizona, and that is on Sunday, April 2nd. That is Sunday, April 2nd. Registration for that particular tour will be 1 p.m. The tour itself will start at 2 p.m., and you can find out more information on our website at www.trinitybectour.com. That's www.trinitybectour.com. The next tour following that one will be April the 29th in Los Angeles, California. All right, so that's April 2nd, that's a Sunday, in Phoenix, Arizona, then April 29th in Los Angeles, California. I also want to let you know that our fourth annual women's conference this year is going to be a two-day event, and that will take place in the lovely city of Sacramento. That's California. Most of you know that. That's the capital, correct? So Sacramento, California, on Friday, June 23rd from 7 to 10 p.m. and Saturday, June the 24th, beginning at 10 a.m. registration. Program begins, 10 a.m. for vendors, 11 a.m. registration, and I believe it starts at 12 noon. But for more information on that, you can certainly visit our website at www.ceanew.org. That's ceoanew.org. All right, so let's talk about tonight's show. Real men have real issues. Raw and uncut, a real man reveals. How many of you are excited to hear what this gentleman has to say. I know I am. My ears are tuned. I am ready to chime in, listen in. I'm going to have a notepad and a pen, and I'm going to be taking some notes. All right, so what many of you may have seen on our advertisement that went out is a lot of times all of us, not only men, but some of us women have heard, we've heard these sayings, stop crying, boys don't cry. How many of you have heard that? It's your responsibility to take care of your sister. I know we've all heard that one. Since daddy is gone, you're now the man of the house. And we think, but he's only six. What about your mama's big boy? And the last one, but certainly not the least, stop acting like a girl. You're going to grow up to be a bleep, 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 bleep. We've all heard that. There are so many more statements that so many boys have heard growing up. And as I said, so have we, some of us girls. And I beg the question if it's possible that these statements may have molded some of our men, not all, some of them into what they are today. That doesn't mean that they are bad in terms of what they are today, but I beg the question if it somehow has molded them into what they have become today, whatever that is, good man, good husband, bad father, should we consider the boys that are being raised today will one day become someone's husband or even their father? Should we consider what they're being taught? What about behavior patterns that are being demonstrated in front of our young boys? What about addictions? I know for myself, I grew up in a household where, well, part of the time when I was with my mother, there was a lot of drinking that went on in the house, a lot of cursing, a lot of other stuff that perhaps a young girl shouldn't have been bear witness to, but it occurred. So a lot of these things are going on, have gone on, and used to go on as during the time that we grew up. So did it have an effect, and could it have been very well been a contributing factor to some of the real issues that men are dealing with today? Who do men talk to? Do they have anyone that they can talk to? Do they have trusted friends that they can talk to where they feel confident to really discuss what they may be experiencing? Is it a safe confidence that they have? A pastor, can you trust the pastor? So many things that, you know, we're going to talk about tonight. I'm glad you tuned in, and we're going to touch base on all these different topics, including who teaches them how to be fathers or providers, husbands, role models, friends, and true men of God. Who is it? Who teaches them? And the question is, do they know that they were created to be kings? Yes, they were created to be kings. So we have a whole lot of information that we're going to be discussing tonight. So I'm looking forward to getting Mark on the line, and he should be joining us in just about any minute. So I'm going to try to keep running my mouth while we get Mr. Mark on the line. And I'm telling you, I'm really excited about tonight's show, and I hope you all are excited as well. I want to remind our callers and those who are, who have called in, those who are logged in online, if you have any questions that you may want to ask Mark or myself, I would ask that you would email those to info@sceoanew.org. That's sceoanew.org. And you can send your questions to that email. Please include your name and the telephone number, your telephone number, if you wouldn't mind, as well as what your question is and to whom it may be addressed to, myself or either Mark. You can send that to info@sceoanew.org, and we'll try to answer those while we're online. If not, we will certainly answer those questions after this. I can certainly get back to you. All righty. So, again, we're just waiting on Mark to join us, and I don't want to lose any of you. I'm going to check in and see if there's a couple of if he may be experiencing some problems too. As I said earlier, I had a little bit of a problem getting on, logging in today, so I'm not sure he may be experiencing that as well. So this is real talk. This is really happening, and sometimes we experience technical difficulties, so we're not going to pretend that it doesn't happen. We're just going to roll with the punches and believe that it's all going to work out. So I'll talk a little bit more about the Trinity Break Every Chain Tour, because I want you all, if you haven't had an opportunity to join us or to see us, to experience what God does during these tours. It's not about us. It's about what God does on these tours. And I'm telling you, the experiences and the information, the feedback that we are receiving from them, each tour is phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. You can go to our website again at trinitybectour.com. There are images from each of the tours that we've done. There is also information relative to our upcoming tours. So I definitely want to encourage you to take a look at our website and let us know if you're interested in attending, if you have relatives in the Los Angeles area, if you have relatives in the Phoenix area, to be in Oakland on June 3rd. I'll run down the dates for you for the upcoming tours through the end of September. So June 3rd, we will be in Oakland, California, and we're debating with changing the date because June 3rd is around graduating time, and we don't want to run the risk of folks not being able to attend due to graduation. So June 3rd is kind of tentative. So June 3rd or either June 17th, I believe is the other date we're looking at for Oakland. And then we're going to be in San Diego, California on July the 15th. So please mark your calendar if you're in the San Diego area, July the 15th. And then August the 12th, we are scheduled to be in Atlanta, Georgia. And then on September the 23rd, we are scheduled to be in New York, September the 23rd. So those are the dates, June 3rd or 17th, Oakland, California, July 15th, San Diego, California, and August the 12th, Atlanta, Georgia, and September the 23rd, New York, New York. So please share the information. If you know anyone or if you yourself is not in the area, please share that information. We want to get as many people out as we can to experience the awesome power of God and to see the great things that he is doing on these tours. As I said, each one of us are just flabbergasted by what God does at each one of these. The experience is never the same. We're sharing our testimonies, but each time it's an entirely different experience. So please be sure to join us. I'm just touching base with Mark to make sure everything is okay. So if you caught me kind of pausing there, please pardon my unprofessionalism as I'm just trying to touch bases and make sure he's okay and he's able to get on. He may be experiencing some technical difficulties, so I would ask you to bear with us. This is the first time that we've had this type of problem, but this teaches you on the spot how to roll with the punches and keep things going until we're able to touch base. So I'm believing that he's going to be joining us hopefully soon here. And I have to tell you, it's been this type of day. So typically when I do Blog Talk Radio shows every Thursday, I set up the show a few days ahead of time, but I don't announce it in terms of sharing it until the day before. And this week has been a bit of a challenging week for me because I've had to adjust to some a different work schedule. And in doing that, I was not able to set it up like I typically do. So I tried to set it up last night, and both of my computers once again went haywire, and I was not able to set it up as I desired to. And then I tried to do it this morning and was not able to successfully do it as I had planned. And then as I came in and I was trying to make sure everything was running smoothly, we ran into some more problems. So I tell you, this must be going to be a very powerful show because we have been trying to do this for 2 days, and it is causing us some major, major, major problems. So what I'm going to ask you all to do right now is, I know most of my listeners are believers, I'm just going to bow my head, and I'm going to come into prayer right now, because right now we're just not going to allow any forces to come against us. We're going to hallelujah, believe God that Mark is going to be able to get on. We're not sure what's going on, But I would ask you to come into agreement with me as we go before the throne of grace and just trust and believe that whatever it is that's blocking up the airwaves and causing some difficulties, that we have the power to bind that up right now in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we just come before you, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for giving us yet again another awesome and wonderful day, Father. We thank you, Father God, that we know that you are about to do a great and awesome thing. We know that whenever we first face adversity, Father God, we know that whenever there are difficulties and challenges, Father God, we know that oftentimes it's the adversary, Father, but we thank you that you've given us all power. We thank you that you've given us all authority. We thank you, Father God, that we do have the power to call those things, Father God, to be not as though they were. So right now, Father God, we know that the powerful testimony that Mark is going to speak and give and release, Father God, is going to set so many men and women free. We know, Father God, that it's going to open eyes that have not been opened. We know that ears are going to be open to hear, but perhaps they have not heard before, Father God. We know, Father God, that they're going to receive encouragement and wisdom and knowledge from what is being shared tonight. We know the Word of God tells us, Father, in Revelations 12 and 11, that they overcame him, the Word of God says, by the blood of the Lamb and then by the word of their testimony. And it goes on to say, and they love not their lives even unto death. But right now we know that there is power in the testimony that's coming forth. We know, Father God, that there is deliverance in the testimony that is coming forth. So right now, Father God, we pray that you would clear the airways. Give wisdom and knowledge as to what needs to be done, Father God, so that he can make the necessary connection that needs to be done. And God, we would just be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Give us insight, Father God. We thank you for the perseverance. We thank you for the spirit of determination, Father God, that is unrelenting, unwilling to give in, but is willing to stand and believe and yet persevere, Father God. So we just thank you, God. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father God. We thank you, God, for deliverance on the call tonight. We thank you, God, for the power of your Holy Spirit on the call tonight. We thank you, Father God, that ears again will heal, Father, that spirits will be set free, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that bondages will be loose. We thank you addictions will be no more, Father God. We thank you that men will hear perhaps what they haven't heard before. Father God, we thank you that they will understand as they listen tonight that they're not alone, Father God, and that they are encouraged and supported, even when they perhaps believe that they're not, Father God. We thank you that women on the call tonight will understand perhaps their husbands and their brothers and their sons and even their fathers, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that tonight we know, Father God, that things are not going to be as though they were, Father, because tonight things are going to change. There's going to be a shift in the spirit realm. And God, we just thank you and we praise you for it right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we just believe that it's done. And we call it all done in the name of Jesus because God is an amazing and an awesome God. We know he can do great things, and we still believe. So don't you all go nowhere now. Don't get frustrated. Don't get, and why is it taking so long? No, this is where we persevere. This is where we stand in the gap. This is where we continue to yet believe. We still have time. See, but look, let me tell you something. I set the time for an hour and a half, and normally our shows are an hour. And I set the show for an hour and a half, and right now we have an hour and 10 minutes. Can you believe that it's been 20 minutes and he has yet been able to get on? So we're just going to make sure that he has the information that he needs to get on one more time. I beg you not to leave. Say, beg. I'm not pleading. I'm begging you to stay on, to persevere, to yet believe, and don't lose sight. Don't lose sight. We're going to get Mark on, and we're going to have this powerful and awesome conversation, and it's going to be phenomenal. You got to believe that. You got to believe that. Whenever there's this much opposition, you know that there's something coming on the other side. When there's this much opposition, you have to believe that there's something coming on the other side of this. We were so excited when we talked about doing this. And yet here we are facing some challenges. Let me share some more information with you. So I don't know if many, well, probably not. Some of my listeners know that Mark does a Facebook Live broadcast And they do it, it's not a scheduled broadcast. I think they do it once a week. I'm not really sure of the day. And when I say they, I'm referring to his fiance, Valencia McKinley. They're out of Southern California. And they actually do a Facebook Live that they call KISS. And that's K-I-S-S, and it stands for Keep It Spiritually Simple. And they share a little bit of life principles. And they do that, again, once a week. And so last week, we were in Los Angeles coming back from the Trinity Break Every Chain Tour in Las Vegas. And this is kind of when we talked about doing what I'm getting ready to share with you. We talked about the issues that men face, and Mark is such a phenomenal host, This is his gift. This is his vein. This is the area where he needs to be because he's really great at this, and I can't wait to get him on because he's absolutely really great at this. I'm getting all kind of text messages. I apologize for this. People are telling me that they can hear him, but I can't hear him. Bear with me here. Don't go anywhere. I know this is live. Don't go anywhere. We're going to figure out how to get Mark on here. Just a second. Okay, guys, what I'm going to do here in just a moment, I am going to try and get Mark on the line myself. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to try to connect to myself. Hold on. Bear with me. Okay, hang on. Don't go anywhere. Whoop, I think we got him. Hold on. All right. Mark, are you there?
I am here.
My goodness, what was that?
He's busy. You know he's busy. And I heard the prayer, and I said, Lord have mercy, if I don't get on this phone sometime soon, woo, I'm going to lose some souls for you, and I can't lose no souls to get into the kingdom. I got to make sure everybody get in.
Well, that's what
I mean, I'm running around here losing my mind. I'm like, Lord, how come I can't get in? What's the matter? So I even had to call Valencia
and have her
tell me, brother, can you just pick up the house phone and call?
Oh.
I'm trying to use, I'm dialing every number I could possibly dial. Okay, well, good evening to everybody. I do apologize for being late. We know that we got some we had some issues, and I got a couple of people coming in the house right now, so it's going to be a little noisy, and I beg for your forgiveness on that.
Can you guys
hear me okay?
That's okay. Yeah, we can hear you fine. You're fine. All right, are you there? Mark, you there?
I'm on.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. I was like, oh no. Okay.
No, I'm here. I don't even have hair, but I was trying to find something to pull out.
That's so funny. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna take a minute to woo-sah. Get in the vein. So take a couple of deep breaths. Yeah, take three deep breaths. Let it all go. We're here now. We can do this. All right.
And y'all really don't know, that breathing really does help. It truly does help. Oh, my.
Yes.
I am so truly relieved that this didn't turn into what the enemy was trying to make it turn into. Although there was a slight delay, the show must go on. We are God's people. We will not be bound by anything.
There you go. Well, I knew it was powerful, brother, because I was having some problems yesterday. I was down here. I was punching computers, and my poor husband, he was like, baby, just go to bed. It was like nothing was working. And then God bless my sister Valencia. She texted me and told me the same thing I'm telling you, believe, relax, and rest well. So we know that we believe that it's going to be a powerful show because it's been a doozy. It's been a doozy getting here. But praise God, we're here. We're going to move forward with the show. And I set it up, as I said, for an hour and a half. But praise God, we're right back down to about an hour. So God knows what he's doing. So tonight, my brother, We have Mr. Let me just introduce in case we have some folks that are coming on late, maybe some folks that left and came back because we were having some difficult times. Tonight's topic is Real Men Have Real Issues, Raw and Uncut, A Real Man Reveals. So tonight we're going to be talking about issues of abandonment that men face. We're going to be talking about alcoholism. We're going to be talking about infidelity, insecurities, vulnerabilities. And then we're going to talk about the great things that Mark is doing and Mark is getting ready to begin doing. So without further ado, let me officially introduce my dear brother. He's not my blood brother, but he is my brother because he's soon to be married to my sister, who's not my blood sister, but she's my sister. So let me introduce to some and reintroduce to others Mr. Mark A. Henderson. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's just truly, truly a blessing to have this opportunity to have a platform to be able to speak on. And I thank you so much for the introduction in regards to Keep It Spiritually Simple, because, I mean, that is another avenue that allows people like myself in Valencia just to kind of promote the healthy living in the spirit. And I'm really grateful to be here on the air with you tonight, and I pray that the listeners are truly listening, and because just like she said, it's going to be a very powerful message. I'm ready to get started. I'm excited about it. I have been since I've heard about it, and you can fire away with the questions, and let's go ahead and get started. And I pray that all of the men that are listening, I hope that you know you're tuned in and you got your ears on, man, because we're going to talk about some things that a lot of us as men wouldn't even want to talk about. We wouldn't even sometimes we wouldn't even want to express that. But I'm open, and because I'm on a different plane today, I'm not on the same playing field that I was on several months back or a year or so ago. My life has completely transformed into something. So, and I'm truly blessed, and I don't have a problem with sharing any of this information because I believe you said you wrote it in your book. There's nothing that anybody can say or do to me that would damage me any more than I've already been.
That's good.
Okay.
I like that.
So,
can you say that again?
there's nothing that anybody, any person, any man, woman, or anything can do to me than the damage that's already been done. I mean, I literally put myself through hell. Not one other person did it. Mark did it. You know, I had choices to make and decisions to make, and I made them. And I don't hold anybody accountable for those decisions that I make except for Mark. Because at the end of the day, when I stand before God, he's just looking at me.
Wow.
He's
okay.
Not looking
yeah.
at the person that was with me. He's looking right at you. It's your judgment day. So what you going to tell me?
Wow.
So.
Okay, I'm ready. If that's the introduction, then let's get this party started. Why don't we?
Yes, indeed.
All right. So, Mark, one of the first things, you know, we touch bases on the topics or the questions, and these are not, you know, they're not any questions. They're basically topics that we're going to touch bases on, and I'm just going to list those topics. We're going to talk about, as I said, abandonment, alcoholism, infidelity, insecurities, and vulnerabilities, and then we're going to talk about the wonderful and awesome things that you're doing and also the things that you and Valencia are doing together. So let's talk about abandonment. How do men deal with abandonment? Or let's talk about your experiences with abandonment since we're interviewing you tonight. What have your experiences been with abandonment?
Oh, wow. Ah, man, abandonment. Ah, well, I mean, just, you know, I come from a large family. And one of the things that hurts me the most is being a part of a family of nine that at 51, we don't have a camaraderie. We don't have a closeness. And because I noticed it throughout the rest of my family, this was a new discovery for me, a new revelation, if you will. I remember just as a child, you know, my mom not really being in the home. My brothers had to try to take care of me at 14, 15 years old, and they wanted to run the streets. So, you know, imagine being 3 and 4 years old, being left in the house by yourself. You can't change that diaper. You can't go in the refrigerator and pour that bottle of milk. So, I mean, at a very young age, there was things that I was subjected to that I just, you know, this was getting ready to be, this was the forging of my life. This was the very beginning. This is what was getting ready to structure me into being who I became today. And maybe some of the reasons that I made some mistakes. I don't know. The abandonment issues, I mean, and they grew into my teenage years. Couldn't tell you how many times I woke up and, you know, I needed that support from my mom and go knock on that door. And God rest her soul, I'm not saying anything about her, but she wasn't there. You know what I mean? And then when I turned to go to the other room, there's no one there. It's just Mark. So I chose not to go to school that week. My mama wasn't home for a week, so why do I need to go to school? I don't have no lunch money. My clothes ain't clean, so why do I need to go to school this week? And I found myself later on in life that I started attaching myself to people, other people, not my own family, other folks. And probably one of the reasons why, many of my friends, if they're listening, would know, and this time I see this dude every other 6 months to a year, 2 years, he's in a different relationship because I don't want to be by myself. I don't like being by myself. So I find something or someone, most of the time someone, to grab a hold to. Not out of the things that they may have, but what they have for me is more important is the companionship that I didn't get. I don't remember. So as a young child, I had to always reach out to something to hold on to. And I found that in people. And most of the time I found it in women. Go ahead.
It's amazing to think that, see, a lot of times we don't look at abandonment as, or the reverse, or the opposite of abandonment being that you need attention or that you're looking for that attention or that connection or being able to have companionship. So this is really insightful. So a lot of times people who may be looking for attention, it could be a result of abandonment issues is what I hear you saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, I went through some extremes of, you know, just me getting attention. I mean, growing up as a kid, I remember reenacting. We watched The Three Stooges, and I would get up and reenact the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one came on, I would get up. Every time a commercial break came, I would get up and just reenact that part of the show. Look at Marky, Marky, Marky. And that was the thing that made me feel like somebody, made me feel important because I grasped everyone's attention. You know, and if I didn't have that one particular thing, and I would notice that everybody would gravitate to the things that I was doing. Oh, look at Marky, he's so cute. And nobody else got that attention except for me. So I found out on an early age how to grasp somebody's attention. But nevertheless, yeah, abandonment, I mean, it was different. It took me into some dark places. I felt alone in many ways, but I always found something, a substance, something to do to try to, if you will, to fill that void.
Okay, so you talked about substance. So I don't know if you're talking about substance in terms of an addiction or, filling that void with something when you felt dark and are alone and in a dark place. So that brings me to the next topic we're going to talk about, and that is alcoholism. And that's very dear to my heart because my mother suffered with alcoholism the last 3 years of her life, and I had to be around that. And, you know, to this day, I actually can't stand, you know, the taste. That whole experience with my mother. So talk to us about, if you will, about that, how that all came about.
Well, as a child growing up, I mean, it was alcohol was just in my family. My father was in the Navy. And, I mean, I can recall many weekends where all the sailors would come over and they would just drink and party and just, you know, get sloppy drunk. I wake up the next morning, there's people laying on the floor. I'm like, what is this? What happened here? You know, and this is at 8, 9 years old, so I'm seeing all of this. And I didn't really have my discovery of alcohol until I was in my early 30s. I take that back. I didn't start actually drinking alcohol until I was 32 years old.
Wow.
And I really refused it at that time, and I said, you know, I don't drink. Well, just come have a beer with me. And lo and behold, it was the worst thing that I could have, the worst decision I ever made because I liked the feeling. So I never, in the very beginning, I started liking the feeling of what it tastes like, and then I found the effects of what it did to me. So therefore, now I no longer drank for the taste. I just drank for the effects. And the more I drank, the less the effect. And it just became
talk to us,
a, Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No. I don't want to interrupt your thought. It just became.
It became a habit. It's not so much that there was something that I was really seeking. I know I was looking for something, but I wasn't getting it. So I found myself just kind of spinning my wheels and spending my money and wasting my time looking for something that was going to take me someplace that just never was going to take me ever again, except down. But go ahead with your question, though.
So you talked about, so it was the effect. So the effect and how it made you feel is how it became, I don't want to use the word addictive because that may be too strong, but it kept going back.
Can.
With you. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that's not you now, but I'm just saying. So I want to say that it is the effect that kept drawing you. Let's use that term, if you will. The effect kept drawing you because it wasn't something you liked doing, but you realized that, hey, this is helping me cope, whatever you're coping with. So it was the effect, mm-hmm. what it was doing to you or doing for you. So talk about those effects. What was the effect? What were the effects, rather?
Just that it could take me to a place that gave me a little bit more confidence. And then I'm sure that's going to be the next topic that's going to be coming up in just a few. But it gave me a sense of confidence at the time because my self-esteem had, been very, very low. It just made me feel like a different person. It gave me a false sense of I can do anything. You know what I'm like? I felt like a superhero or superhuman, and nothing would affect me. And I didn't,
mm-hmm.
I was completely oblivious to that, how close I could come to death. Because my drinking took me into some really raunchy places, to the point that I was getting pushed through windows and hit in the head with bottles. Because the courage in that bottle, that liquid courage is what they call it, would have you say things to somebody that you would normally say on a sober mind.
Mm.
But the alcohol,
wow.
Once it begins to, to take control, then sometimes you just, you kind of go for it, and you'll say and do things that you just would not normally do on a sober head. So it took me into some really bad places, but it gave me this false sense of courage that I could just say and do and get away with things that I wouldn't normally even contemplate. I wouldn't even conceive that, but that's where it took me. If that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I'm reflecting on my own experience, with my mother, and, as you're talking, I'm thinking back to some experiences I've had, and I used to hear that same thing growing up, is that it was liquid courage. It would give you the confidence and the courage to say things that you ought not or you would normally not say. And I used to think how, I'm reflecting as you're talking, I'm thinking how it would alter her personality, how she was not the same person and how she would try so hard, to be the same person, but it just alters you. You're not the same person. You don't have the same conversation. You don't sound the same. You don't look the same. You don't act the same. So I can totally relate.
Yeah. It did all of those things to me, and I can't tell you the fights that I've had with family, with my mom, people in the streets, fighting the police. That substance that they sell in the liquor store that you can go get at any given time, they sell it every day. You can go get it. But I can guarantee you, if you get hooked on that substance, that is probably one of the worst substances on the planet because it's so readily available to people. And I thank God that I have the God that I have that allows me to say, hey, look, Mark, people are calling you a drunk, calling you alcoholic. Stop. Just quit. Just stop. And I've gone through this thing, a couple of times before where, I go get sober for six, seven years and I drink for a year or two. No big deal. But it was always a big deal. Because one thing about alcoholism and how it plays a trick on your mind, and it did it for me for quite a few many times. Every time that I went back to drinking, I almost started off right where I left off. If that makes sense. So I was, when I stayed sober for 7 years, and once I started drinking within a matter of months, I was fully fledged into the drinking again, where it had me back on the road to the bottom.
How did you feel each time? I mean, how did you feel? I mean, I've never been, I was always afraid to allow anything to control me. So I could never understand my mother because I'm like, I just could never understand how she couldn't stop or why she wouldn't stop. So how did you feel each time you went back? And then I'm going to move away from this before we can cover some other things because our time, we're 49 minutes, but, you know, once you start talking, it can go for a while, quite a while. It goes really quick. So,
right.
How did you feel each time you went back? Did you feel like a failure? Did you feel like, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this again? I mean, what did you feel?
I mean, exactly that. I mean, because one of the things that I know, I had to actually trick myself into picking up the first drink. I have to talk myself into that. Because my body's not craving it. It's an actual conscious decision that I'm making. And I actually have to trick myself into find a reason that you would throw away 7 or 8 years of sobriety to have a sip of what's in that bottle and you know it's getting ready to take you to the bottom. I would feel horrible. I mean, it was one of the worst feelings on the planet just to think, oh, man, I just, you know, I threw away 7 years of sobriety, but nevertheless, what's getting ready to happen next? What's going to happen next now that I'm drinking again? Aren't you afraid, Mark, that there's a possibility that you could end up in a really bad situation? And I did. Mark, aren't you worried and afraid that you could possibly have an accident? And I did. But none of these things were the things that would, you know, that would shake me out of that because I just had a couple of car accidents several months back. Both of them were alcohol related. And I thank God, I thank God that nobody got hurt, nor myself. Car was ugly, but nobody got hurt. No one got hurt. No one got hurt. But
wow.
Having to make a decision and say, you know what, this is, I can't live my life like this anymore. Lord, you gotta do this, man. You know, and I've never really had to be one that had to go to AA. I don't, you know, I'm not a real big advocate of that. That's just not my thing. I just believe in, you know, going to the Spirit because He's the only one that ever got me sober. Not Mark. God has done it. But
that
was so horrible. I felt horrible. But I had a Savior that would just make sure that I would be okay. That I would be okay. So I'm on the road to that again. You know, got a little bit of sobriety into my blood. I'm not bragging about that. It's just I have to stay focused on that. I have to stay focused on that because my life is getting ready to move in a completely different direction. And I can't have nothing alter that. Okay.
That's a good thing. I love your transparency, Mark. I love your transparency. You know, men really need to hear this, not only from, you know, this particular topic that we're talking about, but just everything that we're going to cover. And your transparency, because I think, you know, I'm not a man. And clearly, men are from Mars and women are from Venus or however they go, because clearly we all speak different languages. I think God had a sense of humor when He put us together.
yes, indeed.
But it's a beautiful thing. But I, you know, on behalf of myself and our listeners, I just want to say thank you for your transparency concerning that, because, you know, that took more than guts. You know, that took a swallowing of pride and you know, a big dose of humility, and those are things that have to be celebrated coming from a man. So thank you for being transparent regarding that. Let's talk about another difficult topic, and that's infidelity. You know, so we talked about abandonment and where that led to, you know, needing attention. And that attention, you know, or that lack of attention, you know, potentially led to, well, I'm not going to say it led to alcohol because, you know, that's something that you didn't do. But once you started drinking, and then it ended up in some other area. So I'm sure if you were in relationships, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, during the times that you were drinking, that could have caused some of the infidelity that you experienced. Would that be a true statement or leaning in the right direction?
In my times of infidelity, alcohol was not involved. I have to say that it was a different line of decision making. But I can try and justify it with the reason why I did it. Nobody deserves to be cheated on, no matter what. Nobody deserves that. If you're telling somebody that you love them, one of the worst things that you could do is do that to somebody, and they find out, or you have to tell them. One of the worst things that you could ever say to somebody in a relationship: hey, look, I know I told you I love you, but your friend from around the corner, down the street, up the block. It's almost like somebody's snatching your heart out of your chest. It's the worst feeling. How do you know that, Mark? Because it happened to me. It happened to me, so I know that pain. But I tried to justify my reason for doing it. And there's no justification for it. I started getting, this is ironic, I started getting so much attention that I wasn't saying no. But in the back of my mind, I justified it because she did something sneaky while I was away. And I found out about it. So every opportunity I had, I took advantage of. I didn't have to go seek it. It came after me. And that was just Satan in disguise. Okay, how low will you go? And I went to the lowest. You know, I was in a relationship for 10 years, and I probably had about 15 girlfriends in that 10 years.
You are very transparent.
While I was in that relationship, I probably had about 10 or 15 other little sisters that I was hanging out with. And, it was horrible, you know. So there's no justification for being cheated on. But when it happened to me, I cried like a baby. I bawled. I cried. It hurt so bad. And then I had to look in the mirror and say, that's what you get. I bet you won't do it again. So I don't. You know, people come and tell me.
Because of that pain you felt.
Well, and because now I knew what I had inflicted upon someone else. Now it came home to roost. And I felt it. And I'm talking about I stayed in the room 3, 4, 5 days just crying, heartbroken. I could not face nothing. Didn't want to get out and go to work. Didn't want to see the sun come up. Wanted to stay in the bed. Needed to darken out the windows and the rooms and stay in the cave. A man, a grown man, had that, what we call love, and that all of those things, it had that effect on me when I got, when I did it, and then when I finally came up for air, and I took a look in that mirror, and I said to myself, that's what you get. That's exactly what you get. Now you know how it feels. And I mean, I stood in that mirror for about 30, 40 minutes, just looking at my face. With the tears and the red eyes. I mean, just heartbroken. That's exactly what she felt. I bet you won't do it again. I bet you won't do it again. And I had to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Don't cheat no more. Don't cheat no more. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Not because of the pain that I feel, but because of the pain that the other person's going to feel. You ever want to see somebody hurt? That's the worst pain right there. To come home and tell the person that you've been living with for the past 5 years, 10 years, look, man, I mean, I know it was just me and her. It's just, okay, me, her, and her, but those three over there, and that story just went on. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? That's the biggest part of betrayal that I think that you could ever have in a relationship. For me. So I don't do it anymore. Do I have fears that my partner or may do? Yeah, because I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. So I stay good.
You don't
want
to experience that kind of pain again.
Oh, no, never, 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 ever, never. I tell myself, Lord, I would rather pick up a drink than ever cheat again. Because when it comes back home, and it comes back home. When it comes back, and it's the worst. It's the worst for me. Okay. I'm revealing a whole lot.
So in other words, you reap what you sow, huh?
You do. Well, for me, I did.
No, it's true. I've been there, so I know about that. I mean, in my former relationship, my former marriage, I would say, so I definitely, experienced both sides of that, having it done to me and then being the one that did it. So I definitely know that pain, and I'm with you. Hey,
right.
Not going there ever.
You don't want that. So I stay prayed up with that, and I just tell God to just make sure that I my eyes are focused, and I don't that was something that was quite a few many years ago that happened. That happened for quite some time. I think I was in my 30s, close to 40 when that happened or whatever. But that's a no-no in my book. I don't associate myself with that. I stay, if you're not family, we don't need to be hugging and touching and all of that. I don't need all of that. Because one thing that I want to do is my partner understand that she is the first, the only queen that I will ever show that kind of love to on any level. So without that, it just kind of put, even if, especially when the person already has trust issues with you, you have to really make sure that part is just, it's got to be locked down. It has to be secure, because if that isn't, then, it just, you kind of have that shaky foundation, and I don't have the shaky foundation anymore. It's solid. It's solid. It's solid now.
Amen.
And I have God to thank for that.
Amen.
So.
Woo. Amen. That's good, yeah. I can't wait to talk about towards the end. We have like 30, I think it's 38 minutes. But I definitely want to, we got a couple more things I want to touch bases on. And then I want to come back and talk about the good things. Well, that's all good, because you learn lessons. We all learn lessons. So I'm not saying
absolutely
that's bad. Let me correct that. Because anytime you can take wisdom and knowledge from an experience, that's a good thing. So that this is definitely good. But I want to talk about the things that you're moving into, what you're doing now, and how you're impacting the lives of men. And you and Valencia are doing great things in impacting men and women on Care. So I definitely want to talk about that. But I also want to talk about, as we wrap up these couple of topics here, how God and family is really kind of how you're moving in that vein with God and family, and the importance of that, that dynamic duo, God and family. So we're definitely going to talk about that. But before we get there, let's talk about these. The last two topics I want to talk about is insecurities and vulnerabilities. Do you think we can pair those, or do we talk about them separately?
No, we can definitely pair them. Because to me, I feel like they kind of go hand in hand. My insecurities were, because I became insecure in a lot of different ways because of the way of the world. I thought that, even though I'm a child of God, I didn't know that the material things were not important. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that your monetary status was not important. But because I was in the world, it was so important. And I didn't have the things that other people were having, so it just brought about some insecurity. So I had to dress myself up in another way.
Hmm.
So I had to dress myself up in another way to make myself feel better about me. But I had been insecure for quite some time. I didn't, growing up, I didn't have the nicest clothes, didn't have the latest fashions. Being a teenager, this is probably going to be another topic at some point. Going boosting just to get those things, to go get the Fila, the Sergio Tacchini. We would go to the stores and grab stuff and run out of store. I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what was important to me at the time. That's what I thought was important, because that's what was going on around me. So it made me insecure when I didn't have those things, going to school with no money in your pocket and having to go stand on the free lunch line. My friends didn't have to do that.
So
here I thought
you
that
are.
Things were important. Go ahead.
No. Okay. So here you are, a nice-looking man. Anyone looking at you, and I'm sure back then you were a nice-looking young man, so not that you're old now, I'm just saying back in your teen years. want to fix that.
All right.
Here you are, a nice-looking man, young man, and you're feeling as if you are insecure because you don't have what other men have. Other families have. So these other young men are having these Fila Tina shoes and Fila wear and all of these name brand, and they're going to school with their lunch money. They're not having to get into the free lunch line. And, so that's got to be an issue. You look the part, but you're not the part in your mind, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. I didn't know at the time who Mark was. I didn't know the power that I possessed. I didn't know, and it wasn't so much that the the pretty eyes and the light skin and things of that nature. I didn't understand. I didn't know anything about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see me in that light.
Mm-hmm.
But as I began to get older and I started to discover, there was so much more to me. I had some substance. I had something to give back. And now things are different. You know, things they're much different. I mean, I've gained some wisdom along the way that will allow me to think about these things before I sit and start to say, I'm no longer insecure. We're going to clear that part up. I don't have those insecurities
mm-hmm.
anymore. I've grown into manhood. I mean, it took me a long time to get there. I didn't mature until I was in my late 30s, early 40s. But that's another topic as well. So these
that
things
sure
I
is.
Thought were important to me that they were really not important to me at all. They weren't the
uh-huh.
things that I needed to be guided by. And in my latter years, I started to make that discovery. Wait a minute, man, I don't have to have the car that he has because he's chasing the girl that I already got. And I got her on the bus. And he just pulled up in his
okay.
bus. So it was just things like that that kind of played in my head, you know. So
mm-hmm.
it took me some time to grow up. It took me a long time to grow up. Like I said, I come from a large family, and I've got six brothers and two sisters. And I love them all. It's unfortunate that we don't have that close connection. My baby sister and I do. We still have a pretty good connection with one another. But as far as the men are concerned, I don't get to see them. I don't get to speak to them as much as I would like to. I held some resentment for quite some time for a lot of reasons because I felt like, you know, y'all should have taught me better. I'm the baby boy. Help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, in my maturation, I just said, hey, look, you know what? They had their own struggles that they had to go through because they suffered from the same thing that I suffered from. They suffered from it before I did.
Wow.
It's kind of where
so
I learned
that
it from.
Wow. So would you say, you said that we could pair insecurities and vulnerability. So would you say that you were vulnerable because of the insecurities you felt? Did that make you vulnerable? And if so, in what areas did you feel vulnerable, unsafe, unprotected, uncovered?
In every way. I mean, like I said, I had to dress myself up in so many different ways, and I think that's what I was getting to, and I kind of sidetracked myself. But I had to dress myself up in so many different ways because I was vulnerable. I had to, you know, stand a little more erect, if you will, just to have that
mm-hmm.
other inch, you know, because because inside, I wanted to go and tell you, you know, that I love you. But back then growing up, you couldn't tell somebody that.
Wow. This is so good, Mark. Are you there? Uh-oh. I think we lost Mark. He'll be back with us. Hold on a moment. We'll get him back online. But this is incredibly powerful. So I am looking forward to getting him back on the line and finishing our interview. As I said to some of our guests earlier on, this show itself has been somewhat of a challenge. From trying to get it set up yesterday, we faced some difficulties. And then this morning, trying to get it set up, we faced yet even further difficulties. But how many of you know that we serve an awesome God? So we're not going to worry about having lost Mark. We are going to get him back on the line. I'm actually going to try, and I'm going to give him a couple of seconds here to see if he can get back on. And if not, then we're definitely going to try and give him a call. But while we're waiting on Mark to get back on, there he is. We'll just bring him right back on.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. There you go.
I do apologize for that interruption.
No problem.
I mean,
we're just keeping
yeah.
it moving.
Right. So, well, you know, with those things, it just, you know, I had to do so many other things to try to make myself not so vulnerable, but I knew that I was. I looked for love, but I always had to try to play tough. Love has been one of the biggest things for me. I know that I was attached to love a long time ago, but I couldn't express that, you know. And then at some point in my teenage years, I began to discover that I could cry, and that it would be okay. I could cry in front of somebody, and it would really be okay, because now I could find there would be some compassion, somebody to come to me, to console me, to comfort me. You know, just broken spirited, and just, I mean, so many different things that it would take me through. I'm being directed someplace right now. I do apologize.
That's okay.
And
so
even right now, I mean, go ahead.
No. You're being directed. Go ahead.
Yeah. And even right now, just, you know, thinking about that alone is actually having an effect on me right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you talked about of shedding tears. So
mm-hmm.
you're saying it's okay. So I'm going to the man code. It's okay for men to cry. So you're letting men know it's okay to share your emotions. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're soft. All these things that we sometimes attach to a man crying is, you're telling us, is not real. It's false. So we're finding some assurance for the brothers out there that it's okay to shed a tear or two.
I mean, if you've been told that you shouldn't, that's false information. Because you're human, and one of the best things that God would want to know is that you have a vulnerability. Continue to walk around with all that information, all that sadness and depression in your heart and your spirit, and see what happens to you. It becomes to work on your nerves. Mentally, you become distraught because you want to let it go, but you don't know how to release it. I mean, when you have the opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Give me a second. It doesn't make you less of a man to be able to shed that tear. One of the biggest releases for me, come on now. It's just to know that in my tears, while I'm shedding these tears, that God has got me. No matter what the other person thinks, no matter what the people think, God has got me. And when I discovered that it was okay to cry, it was one of the biggest releases, because it didn't make me feel any less than a man. It didn't make me feel any less than a man. In fact, if I cried in front of a woman, she gave me more love than she would have if I had not shed that tear. And what did I say I was connected to before? The love. So I got the love that I was looking for when I was able to express, this is, my heart's broken and I can't walk around with this anymore. You can't. You just can't do it. It's foolishness to do it. If a man is, at this day and age, in this new millennium, thinks that it's not okay to cry, you're fooling yourself. You've been hoodwinked, you've been bamboozled, you've been swindled out of a whole lot. Release that. Let that go. You walking around with some old bad baggage, some old energy that's just, you know, it's sitting back there. What you gonna do with it? You just gonna walk around and play tough guy forever? So I decided not to. Hey, look, man, I don't have to do that to try to. That's not being tough and being stoic in that sense. That's not what, you know, my idea of what a man is. And just because we have the anatomy, the body parts, doesn't make you. That's not. That just says, you know, your physical form is different from hers. Your gender is different from hers. So, but that doesn't make you a man. Men cry. Real men cry. That's easy. That's not, you know, that's not something that should be taken from a man at any point. It doesn't make you soft, doesn't make you weak. It actually will release you from some of that, like I said, that old bondage that you're sitting upon, and it's just sitting back, then you want to let it go, and you got to find some, at some point you just have to break down and let it go. I did. It was in my late 30s. And I couldn't hold it no more. And I mean, I cried about things that happened to me when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Mm,
things that I was told I shouldn't cry about.
You've been holding on to it for years.
Years.
Wow.
Walking around angry and bitter.
Mm.
And finally, when I was able to go ahead and, you know, shed those tears, and it just made me feel brand new. And it just gave me a whole different perspective. Like, okay, nobody called me no punk. Nobody's not teasing me because I cried. I'm like, okay, well, that's not that bad. And my energy felt different because now I no longer hold that same, that information is not holding me hostage no more. That pain is not holding me hostage anymore. It's gone.
Wow.
It's over.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I don't have to walk around with the resentment, you know, because you did this to me when I was 5 and I've been holding on it and I'm 35 now, so guess what that means? Come on, man. Mm-mm. Fellas, I'm going to tell you like this, man. You're walking around with it on your shoulders. At some point, you're going to have to release it. Find you a corner. Get into it. Cry by yourself if you have to. But I guarantee you, if you're in a relationship, cry with your woman. Pray with her. And, I mean, it's one of the most, it's just miraculous at how you feel when you're done. When I pray to God, and I'm in even if I'm in a bad way or not, when I pray, when I get up, when I'm done, I just feel something completely different. But when I have to go to Him and I go in tears, when I get up, I know my blessings are on the way. Woo!
They're on the way.
He just said, "That's what I needed." When were you going to break down and just stop with the monkeyness and just come sit down right here and talk to me? Talk to Him. Talk to Him. So I had to find that in myself. I didn't have to walk around and saying, "Ah, oh, man, it's good. I don't have to pray today." Every day that I didn't pray, just pushed me further and further away from God. It's like, okay, well, you got it then, right? No, I don't. I had to break down, get on my knees, and cry, "Lord, please help me. I can't do this without you. I cannot do it at all by myself. I need your help. I went to my mother. I went to my brother. Nobody can save me, Lord. I need you to do this for me. If you don't do it, who will?"
Mm.
Get up. My whole life has changed in an instant. Have I reverted back to some old issues before? Yeah, I did, you know. But I know better. I know better. I know what God wants from me. And now that I can see that people are saying, "Hey, Mark, your purpose is something different, brother," you know, so I don't have to worry about the tears anymore. I don't have to worry about tears anymore because I'm not holding anything. Nothing's holding me hostage anymore. I released all of that stuff. That let that go. And now it's time to just move forward. I'm being propelled forward into something completely different in my life now.
Wow. Wow. And it continues to come forward as you continue to release is what I'm gathering.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just daily. I mean, yeah. I could sit around and just, you know, soak in yesterday. I can't fix that. I can't change that. That was, if it was 10 minutes ago, it's done. It's over. That's the history. That's what they call it, is history. You have to live for the, you have to live in the present moment. You have to live in for the present. You really can't even live for the future. You have to live in the now. And the now says to me, "Hey, I'm free. I got God. God's got me, and He's been having me." I mean, I'm telling you, here, let me go back just a bit. If I just give you a quick overview of toting guns and selling dope on the corner, running the streets, just wild and run buckshus, and just, you know, all of these things, having fights and getting pushed through windows, as I mentioned earlier. There's people that did less than what I've done, and I am no more. And
that's true.
Pray that they rest well, but God has something completely different for me. He has something completely different for me. There's quite a few situations that should have taken Mark a long time ago, but they didn't. So I was able to get on my knees and cry in that jail cell in front of those other men. And I got on my knees and I cried. "Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this any longer. What do I do? You sit there for about 2 years, and then I'll talk to you later and see what we're going to do."
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Ooh, I can't wait to get into this. All right, this is absolutely wonderful. All right, so I'm glad you released what you released to us. That's good, because where I want to go next is I want to talk about, as this was kind of, you know, what you just said was a segue into what we're getting ready to talk about now. We're just about under 20 minutes. Pardon me. So I want to be able to get in what we need to get in the next 15 minutes. So So the next thing I want to talk about, Mark, is, as we were, again, we're kind of segueing into this, is talking about what transformed you. So as you were talking, we know that it was your relationship with God that transformed you into where you are now. And all of us, our journey is never complete until we lay down and rest. So we're all transforming. We're all transitioning into, you know, our truth, who God has called and created us to be. And this is the journey, again, that we're all on. So on your journey, you just talked about sitting in that jail cell 2 years and crying out to God and not being afraid to share your tears. And you kind of, you know, reaffirm to the men out there listening that it's okay to cry. It's actually healthy to cry. It's actually a transitioning place when you cry. So those are all good points. So talk to us about God in your life and your family and what that means, God and family, to Mark. And then we're going to talk about what you're doing now, which is some good stuff. So talk to us about God and family and what that means to you.
Oh, wow. see, this is the joyous part of the interview. This is the part that I love the most. as a child, I mean, my whole family, we're all brought up in church, if that means anything to anybody out there listening. I remember my aunt telling me at 5 years old, she said, I came to her, and she said, Auntie, I want to be saved. And so on my way to church that morning, she made sure that I got to the altar. So I requested to be saved at 5 years old. So God was in me a long time ago. I told you I was born into love. I wasn't mm-hmm. here for all the other stuff. You know, the world tricked me because I allowed it to. But God has been a big part of my family. I'm talking about so much extended family
mm-hmm.
that God has really blessed my family in such a way. Like I said, there were so many things that were going on, so many tragedies that did come about, and wow. But we still stand. I mean, He gave me a resilience and to really rise above. So my story is not to glorify my past. It's to reach out to the men and the young youth and even some women that may be listening if it helps you, just to make sure that, hey, listen, I got some stories to tell you about some bad stuff that I did, but I got some good stories to tell you how I got out of that, and it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with him. There was a time in my life that, I mean, everything that I did, I prayed to him, and I asked, Lord, just let everything that I do, just let it be golden, and it was, but I stopped praying. I started saying it was Mark, and he snatched every trinket from me in an instant, just like that, because I started saying, hey, this is Mark doing this. This is Mark got this. So he took it all back, and I'm okay with that. He put me in a place of humility. I understand it. God has been a part of my life even when I was out, especially when I was out there in the world, because he protected me on so many levels. Drunk enough with a couple of $1,000s in my pocket, falling out and passing out on the street and waking up a couple hours and nobody touched me. So I've been covered in so many ways. When the dude pulled the gun on me and he was scared to shoot, I was covered in so many ways. So God has always been a part of my life, and I've always invested back by praying and making sure that he knows that I love him. And I know that I make mistakes, Lord, but I know you got something other for me than this. This is not where my life is supposed to go. I don't have to be a rich man, but I need to be a rich man in the sense that I'm filled with the Spirit. Okay. So he's always been a part of my life in so many ways, with my family even. Like I said, we haven't had a closeness for quite some time. We all grew up together. Maybe we got tired of being around one another because, oh my God, you know, we 20, 30 years old, still at your mama's house, that kind of thing. He moved in, she moved out. That one moved back in, he moved out. So it was just a recidivism at mama's house. But the God was in her because she always left those doors open. Whatever situation you ran into, mama's doors was always open. She always had a place for you to come. She always made sure you got something to eat. If you slept on the floor, you slept on the floor, but you had a roof over your head. If she only had a pot of beans and rice, you ate the beans and rice because you needed something on your belly. So my mama's just, you know, and she would, you know, hey, you know, in her year, my mom was an alcoholic. Let me give her some credit. She died, I believe, 25 years sober. So I have to give her a whole lot of credit. She instilled in us what God can do and what he will do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you're not obedient, she also let us know what he won't do.
Hmm.
So I know that God has been a major factor in my life. I mean, because especially where I am today, where I am right now, the person that I have as a partner in my life is just, I mean, with lack of a better phrase, just ridiculously stupid to be in a relationship with this beautiful person that just keeps me calm. She brings so much calm over me, and people, God, man, you're not the same person. Hey, I'm not with the same kind of woman, you know. So God is he's just taken me and put me in places that just I've been, my previous relationship, I mean, I probably got beat up 3 or 4 times. I never put my hand on a woman except to defend myself. And mm-hmm. there's no way that I'm getting ready to subject myself to that type of abuse. And I meet the young lady that I'm with now, which is Valencia McKinley, and her spirit is so free. She's so open, so loving and caring, and she's so calm and peaceful upon meeting her. I mean, I'm in a place that, you know, there's a bunch of women just floating around, and I just, my eyes just gravitated towards her, and I said, I need to see who that is. She's sitting alone by herself. I need to see who that woman is. So God blessed me on my birthday weekend to meet this beautiful person that was in the spirit, because now he wants me to do something different for him. Mark, I need you to do this.
Mm.
But you're getting ready to go through some stuff, but I'm going to put you with this person. So both of y'all together, y'all can make this happen, but you're going to go through some things together. Let me see if you really love like you say you do.
Mm. Wow. Wow. So God and family, huh?
Yeah. It's important. You know, when I hear my sister, I want to go to church. Hey, get up. Come on, let's go. And she met us at church. And just to walk in that building and see her there, it was just like, yes, God, yes, you know. Because you don't want your siblings or any family member to be going through something and not feel that they don't have a place to turn to. And don't come to me. Get on your knees. Come to church. Mm-hmm. Come get a word. Because that's what gets me through. If I don't get a word, I go through some stuff when I don't get a word for a couple of weeks. Because sometimes I can't always make it to church. But when I don't get a word, I go through something. I'm missing something. There's a void. But when I get there and I get that word, as I did on Sunday, woo! So bringing family into this, I mean, my family, we grew up in the church. And one of the worst things that I feel like that I've done myself a disservice is because even growing up in church, I can't quote you 10 scriptures out of the Bible right now. But I remember as a kid going to camp that they had these contests. But so because I wanted to win, I had to learn some scriptures. And I learned them in 2 or 3 days. But right now, you tell me, hey, Mark, quote me, I couldn't do it. That's not what God has for me. What he has for me today, and is what I believe, is to deliver this message to other people to let you know you're not by yourself. You got some folk. You got some help. You got the comforter. You have somebody that's been through some things that can help you get through these things if you're willing to get through these things. But you can't do it alone. You got to go to God first. I'm just a vessel here in the physical form that will allow you to use me, my situation, my past, my history, to say, I don't want to do that, Brother Mark. How do I not do that? I can teach you how not to do it because I've already done it for you. So you don't have to. You don't have to.
Wow.
But God will change your life if you'll allow him to. He will definitely change your life. He puts you on a completely different path. I'm so grateful just to be on this talk show right now. You don't even know. I mean, it's like, did we pass the hour yet?
we have just, about just, 10 minutes and to 1 second, and I want to talk about Unmasked, but go ahead.
Okay, but, you know, just God is, I mean, he's doing some amazing things in my life, and I'm listening. I'm truly listening. I'm truly, truly, truly listening. And I pray for those that are struggling with anything. I just ask God to come into your life and just, you know, empty you just for a moment. If you could just empty yourselves just for a moment, just to listen to what he's asking you to do. Just listen to what he's asking you to do. And if you don't get it that day, try it again the next day. And then try it again the next day. But the more you try, that's that step that Jesus says, if you take one step towards me, I'll take two. Okay, but you're not listening. I'm going to leave y'all
alone. They listening. No. Because
he's got me walking in so much favor that it doesn't even make sense to me. And people would say, man, you know, that somebody said to me the other day, man, you come to work happy all the time. Well, I mean, I don't have anything to be upset about. I don't have nothing to be sad about. You know, I don't, you know, that's not how I live my life, because the first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning is thank him.
Mm.
I pray to him. I talk to him. And that starts my day.
Wow.
And then upon opening my eyes, I got this beautiful young lady. And just, you know, my day is, it begins on a really high note. So, you know, but it started with him. It didn't start with her. Mm. It started with him, you know.
Amen.
So,
well, that's good. So we are down to about 8 minutes, and then I want to be able to close in prayer and make a couple of announcements. So we got about 5 minutes. Talk to me about Unmasked. Well, first of all, let me just tell everybody that coming up soon, and we'll announce on one of the next two episodes of Sister Talk, that Mark and I are going to be doing a show. We're not sure of the frequency yet. We're not sure if it's every third Thursday, once a month, we're not sure what we're going to be doing, but right now it's every third Thursday. We're not sure when it's going to start, but Mark and I are going to be doing a Blog Talk Radio show together, talking about issues such as these, issues that real women and real men are faced with, and we're going to be having some topics emailed to us, and we're going to pray over and select the topics that we're going to be talking about, of course, topics that you want us to talk about and address, and we'll definitely do that in addition to our own topics. And so that is going to be happening on the third Thursday. We'll give you more information on in terms of when that's going to be starting, and that talk show will be called Table Talk with Ciola and Mark. Table Talk
like
with Ciola and Mark, happening
amen,
on
amen.
The third Thursday at 7 p.m. So please mark your calendars, pardon me for stumbling over my words there, and we'll give out more information either on next week's show or the following week's show in terms of when that will be starting. And then Mark is actually going to be starting his own Blog Talk Radio show, and it is titled Unmasked. That's Unmasse, and I'm going to let Mark tell you what that means and what he's going to be doing on that show. Mark, we got about close to 3 minutes.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. I actually got inspired to do this by people such as yourself. You are definitely a contributor to me starting this Blog Talk Radio, because once again, I said God gave me my purpose, and you guys have really shown me that, Mark, this is something that you need to be doing. And so I decided I wanted to start Unmasked. Unmasked means, it's a French term, it means together, in a group. So I would like to encourage all of the men, if any, that are courageous enough to join me in this. Unmasked is my ideal design for this is to make sure that the brother that's struggling, come on, man, let me help you up. And if you guys go to my page, you'll see that it's a symbol of unity. There's one man's arm grabbing another man's arm, grabbing another man's arm in a circle. So that never breaks the bond. And we're all helping one another. So the ultimate goal is to make sure that we can reach out to one another. You know, we keep God's principles and just try to help each other, man, instead of keep kicking each other down. Oh, he don't have this, or he's this. We're not doing all the backbiting. Unmasked is something completely different. Join me in this battle, man, because we need to win our guys back. I mean, we need to win our little soldiers back, because I'm looking at the way the world is right now. We don't have to save everybody. We don't have to save everybody, but we just need to save a few. And that's where it all begins. So that's what Unmasked is for me. And it's not just for men, but it's the more men, the merrier. But I encourage anybody that's a part of saving a life, that has something to offer, get on the page, like the page, send me some information, send me stuff that you want to talk about. Tell me what you're feeling, you know. I'm not a minister in the sense that I'm not, you know, I didn't go to school of theology, but I can pray. I can pray with you. God gave me that gift. We can get on. We can pray. We can pray live. Whatever it's going to take, we need to start healing, and we need to start healing fast. So Amas is really just God's principles at work at its best with any man, purple, black, green, purple plaid, I don't, whatever, whatever your nationality, it doesn't matter. You're a man in the sense, let's get together, man, and let's save our youth, and let's go back to respecting our women and make sure that we, as men, since we were talking about men earlier, make sure that we understand the term of love. Figure out the definition of love. You go look it up. Hit me on the page, and then we'll discuss that term. But so that's what Amas is for me. And I pray that over the next course of several weeks that this thing will start to develop, and it's going to grow into what I want it to. I already know that because it's not me. This is all God. So I thank you, Sister Ciola, for allowing me to be on your Block Talk Radio and introducing Amas. And I want to give a big shout-out to my lovely lady, Valencia, because we started KISS together, Keep It Spiritually Simple, and that's never going to go away. I'll also be doing that. And that is one of, if you guys get a chance, check it out. Please go on, check it out, and send us some information. The same information you want to send to Amas for the men and women, relationships, everything. Come get on KISS and check it out, and just send us some information. If you watch it, I guarantee you won't be disappointed. I'm not going to take more of your time. Go ahead, Sister Ciola. Let's pray out of here if that's what we're doing next. I want to thank you so much again for giving me a platform to even be able to speak and say these things. I mean, I'm excited. If you needed another hour, I could probably give you one because I still got stuff to talk about, but I need to say before I'm lost.
No, I love it. I wish we had another hour. But the beautiful thing about this is we're definitely going to be able to touch bases once a week on Table Talk. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And I personally am going to be tuned in to Unmask. And if you haven't subscribed to KISS, Keep It Spiritually Simple, I would encourage you to do that on Facebook and follow Valencia and Mark. They do share some wonderful life principles. And the energy that comes across, the spirit that comes across when the two of them are together and talk, you definitely want to chime in and be a part of that. You can pick up some wonderful information. Again, that's Keep It Spiritually Simple. You can find them on Facebook. And I'm encouraging you to go to find Mark's page, Unmasked. That's E-N-M-A-S-S-E. It's French for Together, Unity. Go check him out on Facebook. Follow him. And then if you tune in to him on Facebook, you can find out when he's going to be launching Unmasked. And you want to definitely be a follower of his Blog Talk Radio show. And if you are, this is your first time listening to Sister Talk, we are on every Thursday at 7 p.m., and we look forward to you continuing to follow us, join us. If you have comments before you log off tonight, please leave your comments on what you thought the show was about, how it affected you. This will really help us. We encourage you to do that. I want to thank you for hanging in with us during the difficult time. That's what it's about, togetherness, persevering together, and we appreciate that. Again, Trinity Break Every Chain Tour is happening in Phoenix, Arizona on April 2nd, Los Angeles, California on April 29th. Go to our website at trinitybectour.com and check it out. KISS, Keep It Spiritually Simple on Facebook, Unmasked on Facebook. Tonight's guest has been the awesome and wonderful and very courageous and transparent Mr. Mark A. Henderson. We want to thank him for joining us, and we want to thank our sister Valencia for the encouragement and helping him get online tonight. See, indeed. I tell you, behind every good man is a strong woman.
Strong woman.
So we want to thank you. We got about 60 seconds. We're going to pray out here and call it all done. So, Mark, can you wrap us up in about 20 seconds?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you to give thanks. We thank you for all your love, all your mercy, all your grace, for each and every breath, each and every step, Father God. We just ask that you continue to be in our lives and put a hedge around us, Father God. Keep us protected because it's your will that we designed to live by, Father God, and that's what we choose to do. Lord, let every man that can step forward to be on Amas come forward. Let every woman that wants to be a part of Keep It Spiritually Simple, let her come forward. Anybody that's going through something right now, Lord, we just ask that you just touch their lives right now. Pick them up, lift them up, Father God. Let them know that they're not alone, that they have you to talk to. If they come to you, that you will always, always let your word never return void. In the name of Jesus, we pray, we thank you for each and every breath, each and every step. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, we're about to down to 5 seconds. I just want to say thank you again, and all have a good night. God bless.
Good night.